You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
The letter of James owes a lot in style and content to what scholars call the Jewish wisdom tradition. It's especially clear when we look at today's theme of wisdom itself. And far from being some esoteric pie-in-the-sky idea, wisdom is very practical, especially when you consider the consequences of not knowing the difference between human wisdom and divinely inspired wisdom. Give a listen and see if you can catch what the ultimate goal of wisdom might be for your life.
Our words of wisdom are from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18.
Who is wise and understanding among us? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth.
Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind.
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, close your eyes. Go ahead, close them. Clear your mind. And get ready to remember the image that comes into your head. Ready? Someone who embodies the word smart. Got it? Okay, clear your head again and remember the picture that flashes in your mind when I say the word wisdom. Okay, open your eyes. I am willing to bet your mind's eye didn't bring up two identical images to fit with those two different words. For most of us, the smart person could take on a couple of stereotypes. One might be a person who has all the most traditional earmarks of power, white, male, prime of life. Because he is smart, he also exudes an aura of successful, money, a good job, a nice car, sharp clothes, both impressive and intimidating. There's another classic image, what we called in high school a geek. Scrawny, glasses, pocket protector, the whole works. However, the microprocessor has forever changed that image. Bill Gates, perhaps one of the most geeky guys imaginable, is also one of the richest people in the world. But the word wisdom probably brought up entirely different features to our minds. The smart and savvy person disappeared. Perhaps you envisioned a well-loved mentor, maybe an image of the Dalai Lama, perhaps a face creased and worn, linked with a roadmap of wrinkles, maybe an Einstein is my hairdresser look. Perhaps our wise person's looks and dress are rumpled. And instead of the cultural marks of success, there was a suggestion of satisfaction, maybe a sense of peace or contentment. Each of us has our own images for our own reasons. But for most of us, being smart and being wise inhabit two different places in our mind's eye. Which image, the smart one or the wise one, is more appealing? It's a shame that being smart or being wise is often such an either-or rather than a both-and, but it seems to be embedded in our culture and comes out in so many places, even in the struggle of the kindly Professor Marvel with his alter ego, the Great and Powerful Oz.
I am Oz, the Great and Powerful. Who are you? Who are you? Do not arouse the wrath of the Great and Powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
If you were really great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the Great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The Great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The Great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yeah.
Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
In our text this morning, the writer of James warns good people to not frustrate themselves by trying to project an image that others are expecting. James contrasts earthly wisdom that he calls unspiritual with the wisdom of God that he calls wisdom from above, wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. Now, although Professor Marvel turns out to not be too smart, remember, he doesn't actually know how to work the balloon at all. He is, in fact, a gentle, wise man. The author of James does a toto and pulls back the curtain on the world's wisdom and exposes it for what it really is, an effort to project an image that we think the world will respect and be impressed with. And that's the heart of our banned Bible wisdom for today. The two kinds of wisdom that James speaks of couldn't be more different. Earthly wisdom promotes self and is expressed in envy and ambition and a projection of power. Wisdom from above is expressed in eight characteristics that James lists: purity, friendliness, gentleness, common sense and kindness, helpfulness, genuineness, and sincerity. Kind of sounds like a scout motto. Regardless, it's clear that James doesn't believe that wisdom is something you get from learning facts. It is not found in the accumulation of information. Wisdom comes instead through awareness and perception. Perhaps it's their quiet ways, their wide-eyed taking it all in stare, or the fact that they can swivel their necks 180 degrees and so keep as sharp a lookout behind them as they can in front of them, that gives owls their reputation for wisdom. Leonard Sweet says, "Parrots, on the other hand, are known to be very smart birds. They can be taught to talk, and they sure are pretty. But simply looking good and repeating information is not necessarily wisdom." In today's text, James calls Christians to embody wisdom in a world where there is more and more information and less wisdom. Too many of us have become parrots, simply regurgitating information or going through the motions that we've been taught. Harold Beck used to quote his friend Sam Levinson on such things, saying, "It's so simple to be wise. Just think of something stupid to say, and then don't say it." But it's the not saying it that's hard. James calls his Christian brothers and sisters not to talk, but to act with purity, peace, gentleness, reasonableness, a yielding spirit, mercy, good fruits, and sincerity. And to do so requires a whole new way of thinking. If you aren't impressed with anything else about Jesus' ministry, his wisdom teachings would be worth paying attention to. In contrast to his opponents who advocated a kind of conventional wisdom, Jesus was what scholars call a teacher of alternative wisdom. Marcus Borg suggests that conventional wisdom is cultural consensus that tells us how to live. It's what we are socialized into as we grow up in any given culture. Conventional wisdom is a life of anxious striving and feeling okay or not okay to the extent that we do or do not measure up. It is living according to the performance principle, in which everything depends upon how well I perform. Life according to the performance principle is also life according to the conformity principle. Ironically, we try to be outstanding, to stand out, by conforming to the standards that our culture values most highly. It is thus also life under the lordship of culture, a life of profound self-preoccupation with how well we're doing, with our identity, with our security, and thus a life of profound selfishness. Jesus is not about selfishness, and so he invites his hearers to leave conventional wisdom behind in order to live by an alternative wisdom. We've heard them all before. For conventional wisdom, God is a punitive lawgiver and judge. But Jesus' alternative wisdom has God as a gracious and forgiving figure. Conventional wisdom says a person's worth is determined by measuring up to social standards, whereas Jesus' alternative wisdom says that all persons have infinite worth as children of God. Take sinners and outcasts being avoided and rejected versus everyone being welcome around the table and in the kingdom of God. Take identity coming from social tradition versus identity coming from centering in the sacred, from a relationship with God. Or consider striving to be first versus the first shall be last. Those who exalt themselves will be emptied. Conventional wisdom says preserve one's own life above all, whereas Jesus' alternative wisdom says the path of dying to self and being born of the Spirit leads to life abundant. Conventional wisdom says that the fruit of striving is reward, where Jesus' alternative vision says the fruit of centering in God is compassion. Like everything in James, the ideas are simple, but they're not easy, mainly because Jesus' alternative wisdom is counterintuitive. It's contrary to the conventional wisdom we all grow up with to this day. Arthur Wellesley once said, "Educate people without religion, and you make them but clever devils." And I think that's probably wrong, because the religion most people are educated with today is a religion of conventional wisdom. It might be better to say, educate people without wisdom, and you make of them but clever devils, because becoming wise is not at the top of most people's educational goals. One of the great privileges of my life was to have become friends with the late Dr. Obadiah Harris, president of the University of Philosophical Research in L.A. He was kind of a real-life Obi-Wan Kenobi, overseer of a vast library of obscure ancient texts and steeped in world religions and mysticism. On one occasion, I was visiting the Philosophical Research Library in L.A., and when visiting with Obadiah, he was reminiscing about having been invited by the president of ASU to discuss cooperative educational ventures between the two institutions. He said that one of the regents asked him, "Dr. Harris, what do you think the goal is of education?" Obadiah said, "Wisdom." The man got a puzzled look on his face and chuckled as if Obadiah was pulling his leg. Then the regent said, "No, I mean, really." "The answer is, yes, really, wisdom. Transcending mere academic goals for understanding." James' kind of wisdom can't, in fact, be taught in a conventional sense, but it can be caught in Jesus' alternative sense, in encounters of grace, gentleness, common sense, kindness, helpfulness, genuineness, and sincerity. Once these are your guiding principles, the wisdom of the world seems to make less and less sense. Once upon a time, two old monks decided that, having lived together for so many years, they should try to have an argument like the rest of humanity. One asked the other how to do it, and he replied, "Well, I'll put something out on the table and say, 'It's mine!' And then you say, 'No, it's mine!' And then we'll argue about it." "All right," answered the first monk. The other did as was planned and said, "It's mine!" And the second monk said, "All right, have it." And that was the end of their argument. Wisdom comes when we're reduced to gratitude and awe before the creative wonders of God's universe and the miracle of life. Wisdom comes when we grasp our place in the universe with humility and share ourselves in holy relationships of love and shared suffering that enhance life. Wisdom is treating life as a sacred gift and showing our gratitude for it by filling it in both good times and bad with meaning beyond the superficial. Remember, in The Wizard of Oz, the wizard really didn't have anything to offer Dorothy and her friends until he let down the bluster and imagery of what conventional wisdom expected from a wizard. It was only after he dipped into his own resources of plain-spoken, practical wisdom that he was able to give the travelers what they needed most: simple and wise counsel and a giving of oneself. So, for our stream of thought for today, let's follow Toto's lead and pull back the curtain, remembering that you don't have to be a good wizard, just a good person. When the artist Goya was in his 80s, having lived through revolution and suffering of all kinds, he drew a self-portrait which reveals an ancient man propped up on crutches with a great mass of white hair and beard all over his face. But in one corner of the painting, you can see where Goya added an inscription, something not found in any of his other works. The inscription reads simply, "Still learning." That is wisdom, to pull back the curtain and reveal the vulnerable, open, sometimes anxious self behind the stormy, seemingly together, pseudo-powerful image that we try to project. Wisdom is still learning, being open, unsatisfied, reachable, vulnerable, and on alert for opportunities to express grace. That is what growing into wisdom is all about. to embrace life as Jesus did, taking the risks of love and knowing the joy of giving ourselves away. May waging wisdom be our way in the world. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.wepuTLoveFirst.org.